everybody listen to Derek Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to a Pocket Party. Pocket Party. Durant.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. It's your host, Darren Carter, the party starter. I had a great weekend, man. I got to tell you guys about this. I went to Phoenix, Arizona, and it was my first time doing comedy inside of a building, inside of a room, not a parking lot, not Zoom. I was at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in Phoenix. I think actually Glendale, Arizona. It was really, one of the jokes I told the people, I go, it's really weird to do, I go, this is the first time I've done stand-up comedy, not on Zoom. I go, actually, this is the first time I've done comedy in a long time with pants on. But it was just different, man. Like it was like a little, and I know this sounds crazy, but it was like a little vacation away from Corona, because just the vibe is different, you know. Like in Burbank, I took a Uber to the airport. And, you know, when the Uber driver picked me up, he stayed in the car, which is fine. All of it, this is all good. Either way, it's all good. It just was interesting. I'm just observing. but it was interesting. He stayed in the car, didn't help me with my luggage, which is fine. I don't mind that, but I'm just telling the story. He made like a homemade shield between that he had fastened to the headrests, almost like he's a cab driver. It was like this plexiglass, but it was kind of funny because there was definitely like 5 inches of space all around it. You know, it's not like, you know, like the virus is like, I'm just going to stay up here in the back seat or, you know, in the passenger seat. So it was whatever. I get it. The guy's like, you know, hey, I want to make my passengers feel comfortable. This plexiglass. So that was the vibe there, right? Windows down, cracked on the way there. Everyone had their mask on, me and him. Drop me off. It's cool. I land in Phoenix. Uber driver pops out. As soon as the Uber driver in Phoenix pulls up, he's like, he has his window down. He goes, Darren? And he jumps out of the car, starts touching my luggage, grabs it, pushes it in the trunk. And he's like, my name's James. And I'm like, oh, hey, all right. You know, and I get in the back seat. And then he turns around and he goes, it's about a 30-minute drive. Did you want to wear that mask the whole time? And I was like, not really. And he goes, I'll take off mine as well. I was like, dang. It was kind of funny. It was like, he was just like one step away from, hey, man, you want to finish this orange juice? Because I ain't going to drink the whole thing. You good with that, man? So that was like, it was just interesting to see like, oh, okay, there's a whole world outside of like LA, like how people are interacting. But I gotta be honest, man. I wash my hands a lot, like I, you know, as you're supposed to do. But it was interesting going to like, I went to Cracker Barrel, which I love Cracker Barrel. I love it. My joke whenever I go to El Paso is, because El Paso, I think, is 80% Latino. And one time I had a Mexican promoter. He goes, hey, where do you want to go? And they have all these great taco places, which I love as well. But the one place I really wanted to go right away was Cracker Barrel. And he's like, dang, that's like white people headquarters. Almost as if I got to check in and be like, all right, all is well. All good to go and home based. We're out. But I like Cracker Barrel. We don't really have Cracker Barrel in L.A. I think there is one out in Victorville that they put up recently, but you know, it ain't worth driving all the way to Cracker Barrel in Victorville. But so when I go on the road, I like that old school kind of, you know, Andy Griffith kind of vibe. You know, they got rocking chairs out front, they got little knickknacks in the front of the store, they got the little triangle puzzles. I like the old stuff that's decorated throughout the whole, you know, inside and outside of Cracker Barrel. I love the food. If you go to my YouTube, you'll see, if you look at my Arizona or my Phoenix, Arizona vlog, you'll see I put the pancakes on there. Oh my gosh, those pancakes are so good. Dang, they were good, man. I don't know how they do that. They make them nice and crispy on the edges. But yeah, so that was Cracker Barrel. And so I got to do the shows, and they made it at 50% capacity. And it was great. It was great to see people laughing again and, you know, having a good time, and you know, we're that really that bonding experience between a stand-up comic and an audience is just something that is missing in my life and the audience's life, as far as I know. Although I told the club owner, I go, "It's so great to be back," and he's like, "We've been open since September," and I'm like, "Oh, well." I go, "The way you guys felt that first week of September, that's how I feel now. This is like incredible." By the way, speaking of El Paso, I am going to the comic strip. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but I'll be at the comic strip Valentine's Day weekend. I will be there. And and this podcast that you're hearing, so I have a lot of episodes that are saved on a hard drive, and for some reason I forgot to upload this one. This is back. If you go to my YouTube channel, just scroll at the podcast playlist if you want to see the visual of it. And it's the one, I think it's called Hats or something. Brian Holtzman Hats is what the cover art says. But anyways, if you want to see what the hats are that we're talking about. But I have some special guests coming up, man. I'm excited to share this with you. And by the way, do you guys, I know a lot of people are listening to podcasts this way, and a lot of people are hopping over to YouTube. And even if you listen to the podcast here, can you do me a favor and jump over to YouTube and just give it a thumbs up and comment? Because it helps that algorithm on YouTube. I know I ask you guys to do a lot, like, hey, rate and review it on iTunes, please. And thumbs up and subscribe on YouTube. Those are two free things you can totally do. Totally free. Share it. Doesn't cost a dime. But if you do want to donate, go to DarrenCarter.com, hit that PayPal button, or if you're into Venmo, it's at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. If you would like me to give you, I'm also on Cameo, cameo.com/officialDarrenCarter. I'm on Cameo and I'm on Jemmy. So if you don't know what these things are, go to my Instagram, click the link in the bio. It'll take you to all the different links. But I'm available for one-on-one, you know, like birthday shout outs or roasting you or pepping you up, or maybe as a gift, a Valentine's gift, giving a little special message, little, I like my women, you know, fun stuff like that. I'm available. So they say that Gilbert Gottfried is the number one in demand guy on Cameo. I'd like to be number two or number three. I'll even do a Snoop Dogg impersonation for you personally. I'll be like, "Well, what's cracking, Brian? Ooh, wee. It's your birthday," or whoever. But anyways, let's get into the podcast. And I want to thank you guys again for jumping in and starting that party in your ear holes. So let's do it. Let's start that party in your ear holes.
Pocket party.
So I remember being 10 years old, and we were standing in line at the cafeteria. And there was a kid who, his name is Martin. And Martin, little Mexican kid, was right behind me. I'll never forget, Brian. He goes, "Darren!" He taps my shoulder. "Darren, you have the face of a young boy, but the neck of an old man." Dude, 10 years old. I heard that, and I was like, and we're back. Hey, everybody, it's your host, Darren Carter, the party starter, with the one and only Mr. Brian Holtzman.
How are you, Darren?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm great, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking with you. I just had on Sam Tripoli from Tinfoil Hat Podcast, and the numbers are through the roof. I'm getting a lot of messages and comments. People love to watch these podcasts, and you are a fan favorite, man. Every time you come on, people love it, man. I had somebody last week say that they could listen to us every morning. So that was really cool.
Well, tell that person to get his head examined.
You know, every week we're trying to perfect things. You know, this week I got a microphone. I plugged it in. I believe I did it correctly. I got the headphones in. This is, I hate that phrase, the new normal, but this is a good new normal, because we're able to reach the people, and, you know, we don't have to like fly to their country or their state or their city. We're able to do it from our homes, and we really appreciate them coming in and watching these podcasts and participating, you know?
It's outstanding. So, today I thought perhaps, I don't know where I get them all, but I get a lot of hats. from different places and different events. Some of them giving them to me. Some of them are freebies. And maybe today I could show my hats.
You know what? I got to tell you, I used to never wear hats because I didn't want my hair to get messed up. You know, I don't want to get my hair messed up.
You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that, Darren.
I love how positive we're thinking. Exactly. So once I decided to totally shave the head, I realized the sun is not my friend. So I got deep into started wearing hats. You know, I didn't want to be a hat guy, and I still don't want to be a hat guy, like indoors. But when it comes to outdoors, I wear hats, and I love hats. No, it's coronavirus. Okay.
It's a wet cough. It's not a dry cough. It's a wet cough. If it had been a dry cough, I would have been out of here already. It's a wet cough.
Is that what you
sort of like about? A wet fart.
When you're in public and you do a cough, do you tell people, don't worry, it's not a dry cough, it's a wet cough? That's cool, man. I just coughed and I hit the mute button so nobody heard it.
So do you want me to show you some of my hats?
Yes. By the way, I got to tell you, I also broke out when you told me you were going to do that. I brought four hats. So should I go first or should you go first?
Since it's your show.
All right. I'll go first since I have a feeling your hats are going to be way more impressive. I made a move, and when my wife and I, we moved with our son, you know, a lot of the hats went on the wayside, but I'll show you what I did save and collect. Now, early on, when I decided I needed to protect myself, I got this hat, because also a baseball cap looks cool, but it doesn't protect your neck, especially if you're a bald ginger, right? So here's what I got. I was rocking this look for a long time. Like, this is the look that I would wear around, you know, like, what does this say about me? If you saw this guy, what would you think?
You're the guy who goes on the beach looking for coins.
Right. And then there's this look, you know, you look a little, I don't usually wear glasses though. So usually when I wear this, I'm out and about wearing this, but it kind of, it's cool, but it kind of has a creepy vibe to it, but it kind of feels comfortable. I don't know. It's like a hug for your head. You know what I mean? Like
very comforting hat.
I love this hat, man. These are called dolphins, you know, but although Woody Allen popularized this look, so it's like Woody Allen with my hat, and I've got my hat and my my glasses and my earbuds. Yeah, I like young Asian, you know what I mean? It has that look. But this is a great hat. This still, it's stylish, you know, it's kind of stylish. I like it.
I wouldn't personally wear it. That wouldn't be my first choice for head cover or protection. But I like the hat on you.
Thank you. It was great. It's great for traveling because it's flat. You know what I mean? You don't got to, like a baseball cap, you don't want to get it flat. You don't want to like put it in the overhead and then it smashes. But this is great if you just want to run and just get out there and boom, you got this hat. Now this hat offers a lot more protection, but I got to be honest, it's not as stylish. This is great because it protects the neck, but it's one of those hats that you put it on. And what does this hat say about me? Like if you saw a guy wearing a hat like this, what would you think about this guy?
How is your flight from Australia?
Yeah. See, that's a positive way of thinking. You know, this one's good, but it still allows too much sun. So I took it to the next level and I got this one. Look at this one. This was like next level. This really covers you and it really protects you. It's like you're behind a curtain, you know.
This one. You got to have a hat like that in Southern California if you're going to be out exercising or bicycling, hiking, any outdoor activity. You got to have that kind of protection or else you're going to wind up with severe sunburn.
Oh yeah, and a hat like this, it kind of lets the person wearing it imagine that they had hair, you know, like as we're talking I can kind of flick my hat and feel like I have a cloth mullet, you know?
That'll work.
Go ahead.
You just don't want to get sunburned. I was in Okinawa as a young airman, and I made the mistake of falling asleep on the beach. And when I woke up, I was like an overdone marshmallow. It was horrible. Oh.
Not good. Not good. The sunburn will bubble up. Not good. So this is my. Yeah, you know what I mean. Did you get the bubbles? It's not good. This is the final hat. Now this is I don't really wear those other hats unless it's like an emergency and I can't find. But this is really what I wear. I go with this. This is the best hat. It protects you, and it's a full on.
Wow, that's really, something else.
This is my favorite hat. It's like standing underneath a tree all day. When I go to like the LA County Fair, or I go to some place where I know I'm going to be outdoors, this is like I have a personal tree and I'm standing underneath it. It's just a great hat. I love this hat. And if it's if it's too windy, you just bring this up and you are good to go. In the wind and even in the rain, it's kind of like an umbrella above your head. Right. You know, it's like I love this. Is one of my favorite hats. I do wear a bandana, and then I put this on because if you look close, you can see there are the sun can still kind of get through there. You know, the sun can make its way through, and you don't want to have like a sunburned head. So those are my four hats. You know, those kind of what I'm working with when I just want to protect myself.
Have you ever gotten a serious sunburn on the top of your head?
Not on the top, but on my back of my neck, I did. In fact, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Central California, we used to vacation a lot, like in San Luis Obispo area, San Simeon area. And I remember, you know, as a kid, and even as an adult, as a human being, you know, you don't want to face the ocean because there's a bright glare, so you face away from the ocean. And as a kid, I remember building sandcastles, playing in the sand, but you're just getting the sun beat down on your neck. And I remember I used to get such a bright red sunburn on my neck. It would bubble up and it would be so painful. In fact, I don't know if you guys can see this, but I have a very wrinkly neck, but I've had this since I remember being 10 years old and we were standing in line at the cafeteria. And there was a kid his name was Martin. And Martin, little Mexican kid, was right behind me. I'll never forget, Brian. He goes, "Darren," he taps my shoulder, "Darren, you have the face of a young boy, but the neck of an old man." Dude, 10 years old, I heard that. And I was like,
yeah,
that sunscreen and hats, man.
I used to play with the sand castles at the beach, too. And I'd be done, and I'd go back to my blanket, and the whole family was gone.
Oh,
just left me on the beach.
Yeah, you're building the whole sandcastle city and just getting lost in the art of sandcastling. And
that was some fun, though. I really enjoyed making those. You know, you build the fort walls, and the wave would come, and you just never could win.
And you'd run from the waves. Remember that? You're just running like you don't want to get the. You get see how close you can get to the waves, and you run back, and then you get closer, and you run back.
Because you couldn't make the sandcastle too far away from the water, or else you wouldn't get any wave action. But you couldn't go too close, or else you.
Yeah.
It was hard to determine just the amount, but I think it was because the tide was coming in. No one told us the tide was coming in. It's account for that, you know.
I think that there's a. Someone told me that was in the Navy. I'm not sure if this is true, that every seventh wave is a bigger wave. It's like there's like a rhythm to it, and the seventh one just a little bit bigger. You know,
it seems to go that way.
I think there's something like that. And how about that optical illusion when you kind of wade out into the water just a little bit where it just maybe covers your ankles, and then as the water is pulling back to the ocean, there's like this optical illusion. You feel like you're moving, but you're not moving. That's always been a trip.
Well, I'll start – showing the hats, if that's okay.
Yeah, please show us a hat.
All right, the first hat I have is from this is a Harley Davidson hat from the Philippines, Subic Bay, Philippines.
Wow, that's cool. That's really cool.
Can you see it okay, Darren?
Yeah, that's badass.
So
that's a conversation starter. When you wear that, people want to talk about stuff, I bet.
Well, they want to ask you if you want to fight You know, I need help kicking somebody's ass.
And that's when you take the hat and you put it backwards. You're like, what are you talking about?
So that's the first hat. As you know, I was in the Air Force, Darren. I just got this hat from my brother, Jay.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that a nice hat?
Good looking hat, man. Nice color. It's blue and white. I used to not like those mesh backs because I felt like I could get sunburned, but you know, it turns out you can, you know, you can wear something like that and it won't get you sunburned. You can still wear a mesh back baseball cap. That's a good looking hat.
This is a hat I got when I was traveling to Singapore.
Wow. That's cool.
Isn't that a nice hat?
That's good. And when you wear that, and people really, they feel like you're really embracing the country and you're being a part of what's happening. That's cool.
This is a hat. I don't know where this hat came from. But this is a security hat. Somebody who's doing security can wear this hat.
Yeah.
But it's a real nice one.
If you wear that, do people come up and ask questions and stuff?
Well, they want to know why you're harassing them, generally speaking.
Yeah.
That's a security hat. This is a hat from Thailand. This is a pretty nice hat.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that a nice hat?
That's really cool. I bet if you wore that to a Thai restaurant, you'd get like 10% off.
Yeah, you can get 10% off. This hat is my brother Bruce. He's in the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. He's retired now. And this is one of their hats.
Wow, that's cool.
Hey, IBEW.
I got a question for you. We did a podcast earlier today. Is Bruce the brother that you told me got divorced?
Yes.
And I love the advice that you said. Would you care to repeat that advice if anybody's having some marital problems out there?
This is generally speaking for the men out there. If you're in a divorce, if you've been divorced or you've been separated, the best advice I can give you is get down on one knee and tell this ex-wife, ex-girlfriend, ex-fiance that you are terribly sorry for everything you did, everything you failed to do, everything that you inappropriately said, and ask for forgiveness. And ask her to take you back.
That's good.
This is a famous automobile manufacturer right here. Everybody knows this one.
Oh, man, that's cool. Honda.
I got this hat in Chinatown, Los Angeles. Toyota.
Oh, Toyota.
That's a nice hat. That's one of my favorite hats because it fits so well.
Do you feel weird if you wear a Toyota hat, but you drive a car that's not a Toyota? Or do you just wear it?
My vehicle is a Toyota.
Oh, that's good then. Because sometimes I'll wear Adidas socks, but Nike shoes. And I'll wear Nike
socks. This is a hat I think I'm going to give to Randy Kagan.
Oh. Oh, yeah. He likes birds. Hey, Randy, if you're watching, here's a couple birds.
I don't remember where I got this hat. Maybe my brother Jay. I don't even know what type of bird that is. I'd have to ask Randy. This is a hat I got, I think, for a Secret Santa.
What? Oh, well, let's see it. Doc Stater. Wow, I don't even know where that city is. Wow. Is that Canada or California?
That's California.
That's cool. Do you wear these hats?
That's for people who want to go fast, I think, you know.
Yeah, I'd wear that if I was in some kind of foot race. You know, like I'd wear the security hat, and then if the people didn't listen to me, I'd throw it off and then wear the one with the flames and get the hell out of there.
This is a cat. This is a cap I got at the annual motorcycle show in Long Beach.
Oh, that's badass. Progressive motorcycle. By the way, guys, if you're listening on the Pocket Party Podcast, the audio version, at some point, go to YouTube and you'll see all these hats, visual, just to go along with the podcast. These are really cool. Cool visual.
This is a very nice hat. This is designed to keep your head cool, but with a very sharp looking front.
Yeah.
And these were complimentary at the motorcycle. If you don't, even if you're not into motorcycles, the motorcycle show, just like the car show, it's inexpensive and it's fun for the whole family. You get, they have, you can have mixed drinks there as well as, beer and wine, I believe. And, it's just fun for the whole family. They have, motorcycle demonstrations, guys who do the wheelies and jump over stuff.
Oh, wow.
You see the latest models of motorcycles. And, here's another Dubai hat.
That's awesome. You have a lot of international hats. Dubai. Hey, when we get to the items of interest, of things that we're going to read, I want to read you a story of something from near my hometown. I just saw it on the news when I was up at the farm last week.
No problem. This oh, hat is from cool. Our friend.
Vicky
Barbalak.
Vicky Barbalak. That's cool. Trailer Nasty.
And this was a beautiful hat I opened up for her in La Jolla.
Cool. Oh, wow. And,
she paid me in hats.
Nice.
This is a military hat.
Oh, wow. That's good. Has your name on it?
That's the American cool. flag, and that's an Air Force pin, and this is a military hat. I wear it cool. around Veterans Day, mostly. This is another hat from my brother Bruce. This is a Local 3, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 3. In New York City. He's retired now. Here's another hat from Subic Bay in the Philippines. Very nice hat.
You have a lot of hats.
I'm getting down to the end now. Here's another Air Force hat.
The USAF. How long were you in the Air Force?
People say, why do you have so many Air Force hats? Well, I was in the Air Force.
Yeah.
Should I get a Navy hat? Should I get a Marine right. hat, a Coast Guard hat, an Army hat? No. You get the hats of the service that you served in. People are not going to send me other service hats.
Right. How long were you in the Air Force?
4.5 years.
That's awesome, man.
Here's a God beautiful hat. This is one of my favorites.
Thank you for your service.
This is one of my favorites. This is, look at that sunset.
Wow. What's Paddy's in Thailand? Is that like a resort or something or a hotel?
Yeah, it's a beach community. Pattaya.
Oh.
Pattaya Beach. I don't know if you saw this one. This is another Dubai hat. Did I show you this already?
No, that's cool. Have you been to Dubai? I'm sure you have, since you have the hats.
Oh, yes. I think I have a little bit left. Do we have time for the rest of the hats?
Yes.
This is a nice hat. This is a New York City Fire Department hat.
That's cool.
Isn't that a nice hat?
That's really cool.
I can't wear all these hats.
Do you have a favorite out of all those hats? Do you have one that's your favorite? It's hard to, if you had to pick your three hats.
It's very difficult. I wouldn't be able to just give you my favorite three right off the top of my head. That would be something I would have to research. Yeah. I'd take our list. I'd make all the hats because a favorite hat is more than just the logo. It's how it fits on your head and what it represents. This is one of my favorites, I'll tell you that. Look at this. This is a Teamster's hat.
Wow. That's cool.
Long Beach and Covina.
Wow. You know what's good about you know what? No one, you're a bachelor, you're single. No one's making you get rid of those hats. You know, like some guys or their wives are like, why are you collecting hats? You only have one head. But you're like, you know what, honey? Some days I feel like representing Dubai. Some days I want to represent the local 848. Some days I want to represent Toyota. Some days I feel like
a guy. You're right. I had a hat that somebody liked. And I gave it to them. And I had a Cops. Remember the Cops television show? Bad boys. What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys. I had a Cops hat, and I gave that to one of the doormen at the Comedy Store. This is a hat from New York City, NYPD Blue.
That's cool. I like that one a little bit better than the security hat. That's like the real deal.
Yeah, the security hat is a generic hat that can be worn whenever you're doing security at different locations, but aren't really a part of anything. I guess freelance, perhaps.
Yeah, I was a security guard for like about 3 months, and then I fell asleep on the job.
This is a nice cap. I got this for my sister Mary Ann. She went on a cruise.
Whoa, Panama Canal. That's cool.
Isn't that a nice hat? There it is. That's cool. The Panamanian flag on the back of the hat. Yeah. You don't see that much.
Yeah.
And I'm down to about my last two hats. It's okay. This is a very good hat. This was at Dodger Stadium. This was on Filipino night. Look at this beautiful hat.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Is that something else?
That's cool.
I was impressed. And the Filipino flag?
Wow.
Is that a hat or what? And it was Filipino night. So everybody was having fun, you know, eating balut and ponset and running around, talking to Gilo, and just, you know.
That's awesome. And,
can you believe this? The quality of the hat, what they were giving out.
That's cool. I always like it when they can incorporate a logo and something else, you know. It's so cool.
And the last hat that I want to show you tonight is Operation Enduring Freedom from Afghanistan. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Now, if I told you where I got this hat, I'd have to kill you.
Uh-oh.
So, let's just say... Let's just say I got it, and let's leave it at that.
And we'll save that story for another episode.
That'll be another episode for sure. That's in Afghanistan, Operation Enduring Freedom. And that's my hat collection. I hope you enjoyed it.
Bravo. Bravo. Brian, thank you for that. Okay, I got an item of interest for you. Are you ready for an item of interest?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
All right. Take a good look at this guy. See that guy right there? Can you see him?
Yes.
Check this out. Sometime Tuesday afternoon, Moreno was driving north on the highway in the Modesto area. He pulled alongside Cherokee Freight Lines hauling a tank of wine, and he caught the driver's attention, like something was wrong with the vehicle. The trucker pulled to the side of the freeway with Moreno stopping in front of him. The gentleman, Moreno, gets out of his vehicle wearing nothing but underwear, and he runs to the back of the trailer, the officer said. That's when the driver realized this isn't right, and he re-enters the traffic lane. The gentleman jumps on the trailer, which has a ladder on the back, and gets a ride. So they're going down the road. This guy's hanging onto the ladder of the truck. They're going down the freeway. Somehow, this guy, Moreno, manages to unscrew a valve to try to drink wine as it gushes from the tank. The driver can't see this, but he does notice that a dashboard gauge shows his truck is losing weight. So he pulls over. He's gone about a mile. Once the rig has stopped, Moreno jumped down and placed himself beneath the belly of the truck and was indulging in the wine. He was lying on the ground and doing snow angels, basically as the wine was pouring down on him. So he's on the freeway going like this with all the wine just pouring on him. He's going, woohoo, woo, the wine just pouring on him. And after that, oh, I lost my place when I did that. Oh, here we go. Then Moreno ran a short distance. The trucker already called the CHP, but a few other reports came in of a man running in the area covered in blood, which, of course, was the wine. And according Moreno, he goes, we've seen a lot of things, and this is right up there. He realized that it was him, and he arrested him. So get this. They put the guy in jail. He gets mad because somehow they bailed him out, and then he carjacks another car, and they asked him, they said, why did you do that? And he said he wanted to get his free sandwich.
Man, what a knucklehead.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe that happened. That's, yeah. Did I lose the spot?
He could have been killed.
I know. Oh, and as of Thursday morning, this guy was already back out. Again.
Wow.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
He might be developing a drinking problem.
He might be. He's got to keep an eye on that, you know. All right, Brian, give us some items of interest. What do you got?
Anderson Cooper announced the birth of his baby last week. On Monday, he became a father, the CNN anchor 52 said at the end of his show. I've never actually said that before out loud, and it still kind of astonishes me. I'm a dad. As a gay kid, I never thought it would be possible to have a child. Currently single, the TV newsman named his son after his father, Wyatt, who died when Cooper was 10. The boy's middle name is Morgan, for a relative on the side of his mother, the heiress and fashion designer Gloria Vanderbilt. Mm. The baby, born 7 pounds and 2 ounces, is sweet and soft and healthy, a grinning Cooper said. And I am beyond happy. Well, babies are sweet and they are soft, Anderson. So we're all happy for Anderson Cooper. I know I am.
Yeah. You know, coming up, when you have a baby, coming up with a name is like one of the fun parts, but a little bit harder. Like, have you ever thought, if you have a kid, like a name that you might give a little baby Holtzman?
It would be a name that's not commonly used, and a name that wouldn't embarrass the child. Some of these parents are just idiots, some of the names that they're naming their children. It's like they want to make their first years in life and adolescence that much more difficult by having a crazy, stupid name.
Right.
I mean, why would you name your child after an automobile?
Yeah. Are there children named after automobiles? Like, I guess like Ford or something?
Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. Mercedes. How about, did they ever make fun of your name, Brian or Holtzman? Did you ever get teased for that or no?
I never cared for my name, to tell you the frankly. Hmm. When I was in first grade, they called me. They called Brian, and I got very excited. And then I found out there was another Brian in the class. They weren't calling on me at all. They were calling on the other Brian.
Oh.
I was in counseling for over 5 years after that incident. You know, when you get excited, they actually recognize you, know you're alive, yep, treat you like a real person, and then you find out it's another guy named Brian in the class. It's a wonder I'm not in a straitjacket right now.
You know, the name Darren, I used to play around with that. Like I would, you know, that joke I would do, but it's true. I would be like, I'm Darren, but the ladies call me Daron. So not Darren, but Daron. Daron, love me like a leprechaun. Sweeter than a bonbon. I'll bang you like a tom-tom. Then I'm out. I'm gone, gone. Daron.
I have another item of interest that I think is pretty interesting. It's about social distancing or the lack of it in certain households. It says the rich are still spending on household staff during the pandemic. It said so-and-so. And often ignoring the risks. One live-in nanny for an ultra-high net worth family moved to a large Hamptons house, along with their outrageously large staff. There's a sports coach for the kids, a chef who goes to the grocery store every day, people who come in and do your hair and blow dries 3 or 4 times a week, a manicurist and a personal trainer. Households that are otherwise worried about contagious diseases think their staff doesn't count. A caregiver with an ordinarily germophobic boss says he tells friends, it's just the nanny, when they hear her coughing in the background of a phone call. Wealth often doesn't translate to generosity either. One family invited their nanny to bring her grandson to the country, then tried to dock her pay $300 a week room and board.
That's low. You know, when you're reading that story, I was thinking, like, I mean, well, I was trying to think positive. You know, I usually try to think pretty positive. I thought, wow, like I was thinking, well, you know, maybe this is like a pro rich people story. Like this story is saying that rich people, they're trying to keep everybody employed and keep the machine moving. And I started thinking, like, wonder what job I could do if I wanted to work for someone rich. Because, you know, being a comedian, like back in the day, the king had the gesture. Comedians, I guess, we're not really essential. You know, that's what they're telling us. So I thought, well, maybe I could, I guess the only thing I'd really want to do is maybe be like a personal trainer. But I mean, I've had zero training with that. Oh, you would be a cop. You'd be a cop for you could do security. You could do security for some from rich people.
So then, my niece works at the Getty Center now. So I'm going to ask if she can find me a security job part-time.
That'd be cool. Unless the shit really went down, then you might have to really be a security guy. But if you just get to wear a hat and walk around and look at art and say hi to people, that'd be cool.
I'm going to watch the children very closely. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Get away from that painting. Don't touch the statue. Take care of your kids, will you? Bunch of animals. No food or drink over there.
Yeah, see, you look like that kind of guy. Are you the kind of guy, like, okay, because I really was a security guard when I was, you know, like 21 years old. And, you know, they had me just guarding an empty parking lot, and it was very easy to get drowsy, and I fell asleep because I'm not looking at anything. Did you ever work as a security guard?
I worked at the Aerospace Corporation. And they have contractor badges. They have vendor badges. They have military badges. They have civilian badges. They have a whole host of badges. At the end of that job, you could have showed me a Happy Meal coupon for a cheeseburger Happy Meal, and I would have let you in. Yeah. Oh, my God. So many different badges. So many different badges. I can't believe the badges. I was up to here in badges.
They moved me from the parking lot to I worked the front desk at Hewlett Packard. This is in the Bay Area, right? Back in the early 90s, you know? And this would have been like 1990. And I had to like look at people's purses to make sure they weren't stealing computer chips. But you know what's funny? No one even showed me what a computer chip looked like. So I don't even know what I was looking for. I would just like look in the purse and be like, looks good to me. Just keep going. You know, it was a dumbest job. Yeah.
Some people don't want to train. They don't want to train you.
They didn't want to train me. I worked at the guard shack for a while, the security guard shack. And dude, it was so boring in there. And so I brought like this alarm clock, like this radio clock. And I would listen to the radio, but you weren't allowed to have a radio in there. And so whenever the boss would come by, I would tap the snooze button, and he would do small talk with me. And I would just hope that the small talk wouldn't go on longer than 9 minutes. Otherwise, the music would kick in again.
Yeah, it's lonely in the guard shack.
Dude, it's super lonely. And then people, they look at you like you're an a-hole. Like, they don't, you know, you're just trying to do your job, like looking at those badges. And they're like, dude, you see me every day. And I'm like, I know, but I have to, like, pretend to, like, you know, I gotta earn my hourly income. Yeah, you should work at the Getty, but bring your own hat. Like, don't wear the hat that they provide.
Right.
Let's do one more items of interest, and we'll wrap it up. I love your words of wisdom, too, if you want to end on
that. Would you like to hear about the great football coach?
Let's hear about the great football coach. This is inspiring.
We lost a real good one. We lost Don Shula, 90 years old. Don Shula demanded perfection of his players, and they often delivered during his 33 years as an NFL head coach, 7 with the Baltimore Colts and 26 with the Miami Dolphins. His team won 347 games, a record unmatched by any other coach. 17 of those victories are the stuff of football legend. In 1972, his Dolphins became the first and only NFL team to go undefeated in the regular season and playoffs after beating the Washington Redskins 14-7 in Super Bowl VII. Is that right?
Yes. Super Bowl VII, VII is 7, Roman numerals.
The players held up Shula onto their shoulders and carried him off the field at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And the celebration continued into the next morning. A year later, Shula's Dolphins triumphed over the Minnesota Vikings at Super Bowl number 8. Those championships were a product of Shula's intense style. He worked players hard in training camp, holding 4 practice sessions a day, and would explode over even small mistakes.
That's a lot of practice sessions.
I'm as subtle. Yeah, that's a lot of – that's.
I've heard of 2-a-days, but imagine 4-a-days. It's like
– I'm as subtle as a punch in the mouth, Shula admitted. He was born in Grand River, Ohio, a small fishing community on Lake Erie, said so-and-so-and-so-and-so. A high school football star, he earned a scholarship at John Carroll University in Cleveland and was later drafted as a defensive back by the Cleveland Browns. After 7 seasons in the NFL, the 33-year-old was hired by the Colts as head coach in 1963. Under his leadership, the team won 75% of its games, but his tenure there was remembered by many for the Colts' loss to the underdog New York Jets in the famous Joe Namath 1969 Super Bowl. He had an argument, I guess, or a falling out with the management of the team over that loss, and he found himself in Miami with the Miami Dolphins. Shula's brilliance lay in his adaptability, said the so-and-so-and-so-and-so. His Dolphins won 2 Super Bowls with an aggressive running game and a no-name defense who could execute his strategies. Yet when a talented quarterback from the University of Pittsburgh slipped to Miami with a 27th pick in the 1983 draft, Shula switched to a pass-heavy offense led by the gifted new thrower. Dan Marino, Shula finally retired after the 1995 season, having reached two more Super Bowls. Holy cow.
That's incredible.
You know how hard it is to reach the Super Bowl. I think everybody's aware of that. The toughest part will be in September, he said, in January 1996, when that ball is kicked off and for the first time in 43 years, I won't be on the sideline. So, what a wonderful career. Tough as nails. There he is.
I'll give you one of my favorite quotes. He says, "Sure, luck means a lot in football. Not having a good quarterback is bad luck." That's all right, man. Brian, it's always good to see you. Any words of wisdom since I've talked to you this last week? Anything you've mulled around in your mind?
I think I have this app on my phone, and if I can just, I don't want to mispronounce it, but
is it Waze, the one that gets you from here to there? No, not Waze.
This is a spiritual guru on my phone. It's a free app, and every day he comes up with some words of wisdom. Oh, and today's words of wisdom are sex in the body is fine. Money in the pocket is fine. They only become a problem if they enter your mind.
That's right. Right? If you're thinking about stuff all the time, it's going to weigh you down, you know? I have a friend that's just obsessed with trying to meet girls, and I'm keeping it clean. He's obsessed with something more than just meeting these girls. This guy will do anything. He'll get on planes and fly to Florida during a pandemic and have unprotected sex, and the next week he'll... It got to the point where he got kicked off this app called Bumble because he's never happy, and you would think that he would be happy, but it's like, dude, you know, it's obsessed his mind, you know? You got to keep yourself at
calm. Well, he's trying to fill a hole.
Yep. Hey, that's literally. Yeah, but you're right, though. It is.
It can't be filled with shiny objects, and it can only be filled with a state of spirituality.
Brian, I'm going to tell you something. Oh, I said this, but you know what? I'm going to say it again. I was at a stoplight the other day, like last night. And I looked down and I saw about what appeared to be like, I don't know, 8 to 12 cards. And I looked closer, and this is all in milliseconds. And it looked like it was an insurance card, a couple credit cards. And I'm like, what is that? A library card? Help. And then I saw a driver's license and a wallet with money sticking out. And I realized, oh, someone's wallet's there. And that's all these cards got scattered, all the contents of the wallet. And I thought, what do I do? And so I turned my hazard lights on, and I let the cars go around me. And when there was no traffic, I gathered up all the belongings, and I looked at the wallet, and I saw like, oh, I got to give this wallet back to this person. And on that Waze app, I saw that their address was only like 0.4 miles away, like less than half a mile. I put everything in a bag, and I was so excited, you know, thinking of spirituality. I was so excited to do this good deed. In fact, I was like, I hope they're home. And as I went down their street, turned down their street, I honked the horn because it said, "You are here. Destination is on your left." And I went, beep, 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 beep. And this lady came running out, this older lady in her 60s. And she goes, "Please tell me you found my wallet." And I said, "I did. I got your wallet." And I locked, I closed my door, and I made sure no cars were coming. And I ran across the street, and I go, "It's all in here." And she goes, "Where was it?" And I go, "I'll tell you, but take a wild guess." And she goes, "Well, I was at Smart and Final, and I took the rubber gloves off, and I must have laid it on top of my car and drove off with it." And I said, "That's right. It's right over there." And it was right by the Smart and Final, like as you exit the parking lot. And man, I'm telling you, just to do that good deed for someone, I actually got like this emotional, like endorphin, like, I don't know, man. It's hard to explain, but it's like, it reminds me of, you know, when you'd get like some good news, like you know, you became a regular at the Comedy Store, or you booked a TV show, or you anything that like it gave me this rush of like, wow, it felt good, man. Like, and I didn't even want to. Like seeing the money, the green cash poking out of the wallet, like I didn't even want to know how much it was. You know, I didn't even, that didn't even cross my mind. Like, oh, I could keep this. Especially when you saw that the driver's license with the lady's face. It's like, this is hers. This isn't mine. This is like stealing. That's why I was like, I got to, my first reaction was to, when I picked up the wallet, cause I did see a guard shack, there was a, it was near Warner Brothers, and there was a secure, and I thought, no, I'm not going to just hand this wallet over to somebody. Like, oh, she's like half a mile away. I'm going to go give it to her. I'm telling you, when I gave her that wallet and her friend was next to her, and she told me, she goes, I'm a nurse. I work with people with autism, and it's just been a tough, long day. And when I realized, like, I don't even know what's in my wallet, and I'm going to have to call all these insurance companies. And she goes, thank you so much. And Brian, I'm telling you, it made my day. It made my night. It, you know, I can't stop talking about it, man. And, you know, thanks for listening to that story.
It's a beautiful story. And you know how you can feel that more often and on a regular basis? Volunteer work.
Ooh.
Oh. I volunteered at the USO in LAX for about 9 years.
Oh, did you?
And it was the most rewarding experience. It was more rewarding than a job that paid money.
Wow. That's good. You know, when things get back into a pattern of a little bit more normal, I'd be interested to see what I would like to volunteer at, you know, like that must feel great. You know, that's a great, because it's actually by being selfless, you sort of being selfish a little bit, because I'm telling you, that rush that I got was like incredible, man, to see that smile on her face and just know the relief that they felt, like knowing they don't have to wonder what was in their wallet and not have to make that whole process of calling all these institutions. It was like,
be careful. Yeah. Don't get so caught up with it, the emotion, you know. You don't want to be, you know, starting fires and then going telling the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Be the hero.
Hey, I'm a hero. You're right. Maybe that's what those people do. They know what it feels like to be a hero, then they keep challenging themselves. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Anyways, Brian, you're the best, man. You always bring the humor and you bring the interesting items of interest. And thanks for being a part of the Pocket Party podcast.
No problems. My pleasure.
All right. Well, until next week, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're done with this interview.
Well, look at you. You made it all the way through. That was great, right? Thank you guys again for checking out the Pocket Party podcast, keeping it in the rotation. And do me a favor, go to YouTube, like and subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you'll see all my vlogs and notices and my latest and newest podcast. I'm on Cameo. I'm on Jimmy. I love you guys. And as my boxing coach says, all right now, don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody. Be careful. Be careful and don't hurt nobody, including yourself. See you next time.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to Pocket Party.